Today on Brave, a brand new message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
No matter what we're doing, we're standing on the shoulders of men and women who have graced us by being faithful to God. I mean, the reason that we gather here today is so many apostles and other faithful men and women throughout church history have given their lives so that we could gather here and proclaim the truth of God's word. There's always faithful people in every single generation. We're surrounded by them. Find them and follow their example.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. At the start of any project, career, or personal goal, it's easy to feel motivated and charged up for the work ahead. But when time wears on and the going gets tough, that's when our true strength is put to the test. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins an inspiring message about finishing strong in our journey of faith. We're in a series called The Greatest, where we're gaining a deeper appreciation for the greatness of our God. If you've missed any part of this edifying series, you can catch up at bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for the start of a new lesson titled, Faithful Finishers.
About 30 years ago, I laced up my shoes and headed to the starting line of what would be my first 5K race. The only problem was, at the time, I didn't know what the letter K actually stood for. I was part of an organization, and part of their kickoff for their business was to start their annual meeting with a race. And so I went there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there I was, and I didn't know what to expect. And when I got there, it was super exciting. There were all these skinny people in shorts that were running up and down. I'm like, the race hasn't even started yet. And they're like running. I thought that was interesting. Music was pumping. There was a festival atmosphere. And I got kind of excited about it. And so with these 5,000 runners, I started making my way towards the back of the pack when I heard some of my friends in the front yell this, "Schwartzy, get on up here. Run with us." And I walked up to them. I'm like, hey, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know what K stands for. What are we doing here? They said, it's 3.1 miles. You're not going to win this thing anyway. You may as well get a good start. So I thought that sounded like a good idea. And as the countdown went from about 25 minutes down to 10 minutes down to 5 minutes, I could feel my adrenaline getting pretty pumped up. And I was right in the front of the race. And so everything was going fast and I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And when it got to the 10 second countdown, I began to have this thought. I said, well, since I'm not gonna win anyway, I may as well start the race in first place. And so when it came to 3, 2, 1 and the gun blew, I took off in a dead sprint. Like as fast as I could possibly go. And I could hear my friends laughing as they were running behind me and I was gone. And for like 5 blocks, I'm looking to my side and I can't see anybody. So I turned around and I saw the heads of everybody bouncing and one thought went through my head. I'm winning the race. And I was for about another 2 blocks. And I remember taking a left turn and so many people were coming by. I remember I wish I would have had a shirt that said Jeff on the back because for about the next mile, I thought my name was on your left because everybody kept going by me. And I remember I got to the first water station and all I wanted to do was quit. I was like, why did I run this stupid race anyway? I'm like, nobody's gonna care about this. I'm not gonna make any records or anything. Why am I even doing this? But I kept on trugging along and I got to the second water station about the 2 mile mark and to add insult to injury, some little kid about this big came by as he saw my face and how tired I was. I was drinking water and patted me on the backside and was like, come on, old man, you can do this. Which wasn't encouraging. I remember thinking, Lord, if you just help me catch that kid, right? And all I wanted to do was quit because what difference did it make? And I remember that day in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as I was running, that's all I continued to think about was wanting to quit. What about in your life, in your spiritual life, in your walk with Jesus? What do you do when you want to quit? The fact is, if you live long enough, there will come a time in your life with Christ where there'll be a season where you feel like giving up. Giving up on something that the Lord has for you, giving up on your faith altogether, giving up because it just gets too hard. So what do you do when it gets hard? What do you do when you get to a place where you feel like, I just can't go on? If you've ever been there, God has a word for you today. And if you haven't been there, I encourage you to listen, because if you live long enough, you will be. And we're going to take a look at four behaviors that Christians do that will help you finish the race, how you finish strong. We want you to all be faithful finishers, and that's what God wants you to be. And we're going to take a look at four ways you can be a faithful finisher. So if you have God's word with you today, I invite you to open up to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be taking a look at the first three verses. I'll read them, and then we'll unpack them together, taking a look at those four behaviors that faithful finishers adhere to. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And there nestled in those three short verses are really the truth of God's word of how to be a faithful finisher. And we're gonna highlight four of those ways here this morning. And the first is this, that faithful finishers follow faithful examples. Faithful finishers follow faithful examples. Notice what he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. The author has just finished talking in all of Hebrews chapter 11 about all the faithful men and women who faithed all the way through the finish line, who were faithful regardless of what happened to them, that they kept on going. He's saying, now, listen, you Jewish converts who are willing to turn your back on God and are thinking about quitting and thinking about going back, he's like, don't quit, just keep on running. Follow the faithful examples that you have before you. Now, he talks about this great cloud of witnesses. He's using it metaphorically. He's using it metaphorically. He's not talking about that when we die, we go to heaven and we look down upon everybody on earth. Sometimes when I'm officiating a funeral, inevitably somebody will be in the funeral and they'll say, oh, she's up in heaven, or oh, he's up in heaven looking down on us. Friends, heaven is far more glorious to be in the presence of Jesus than to look down on human beings. When you go to heaven and have the goal of your faith realized, you will not be looking down from heaven. He's not saying that. What he's saying is we are surrounded by so many faithful people that have faithed all the way through the finish line. Not only the ones we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, but you have them in your life too. In every generation, God has raised up faithful men and women who are walking with the Lord. And here's what he's saying. Would you please follow the examples of the faithful? When you follow the right people, you end up in the right place. When it comes spiritually, you should be following those people who are faithing in this generation the way that you see God wanting them to live. That's what he's talking about, this great cloud of witnesses. I mean, I realize I moved here in 2010 here to Denver, and I realized when I got here, I started learning about all sorts of people that had been in Denver years before I had. Dr. Donald Wellman, who had the vision of building this church, who preached right here from this pulpit, had a vision in Denver to be a city where people would come and get discipled and take the gospel all over the world. I feel like I'm getting this chance to stand on his shoulders that he was preparing a way for us. Or some of you be familiar with Rick Ferguson, who pastored at Riverside Baptist up the road for several faithful years until God took him home earlier than we might have expected. I mean, no matter what we're doing, we're standing on the shoulders of men and women who have graced us by being faithful to God. I mean, the reason that we gather here today is so many apostles and other faithful men and women throughout church history have given their lives so that we could gather here and proclaim the truth of God's word. There's always faithful people in every single generation. We're surrounded by them. There's myriads of them. Find them and follow their example. Now, we know this because when Jesus called his disciples, he said what? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, that's easy for Jesus to say. He's the Son of God. He's perfect in every way. Follow me, follow me. But do you know the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, who dragged people off to be persecuted for their faith, also said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. And he also told the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, friends, we've lost the authority of God's word in our lives. We've lost the authority of God's word in our culture, so that when it's proclaimed with authority, it sounds foreign to us, right? God wants us to follow those who have been placed under the authority of God's word. People who read God's word and say, God, if that's who you are, then I want to realign my life and reorient my life with you. Find faithful examples and faithful people, because Christianity is not just a proclamation religion, it's a demonstration one. We're to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to see a demonstration and not just a proclamation. I'll give you an example. I saw some woman on the news go off the other day about people who believe the authority of God's word. And it was in relation to some decisions that have been made in our country recently. And she was just going nuts and saying, put the Bible away. It has no business in our lives. Keep it in your church. And you know why she says that? Because in her life, she's never seen a walking, talking, living, breathing example of somebody that lives under the authority of God's word. And all she's heard is preaching. Let me make it a little more real for you. There is very little difference in our day and age today between how Christians and non-Christians live. And because there's very little difference, when we proclaim the authority of God's word, non-Christians hear it and say, I'm not going to believe that. There's no difference in what you do and what I do. Let me hit a little closer to home. You don't live much different than your non-Christian friends today. And that's why when they hear the word, they're like, yeah, that's for somebody else out there, but I don't see you living it. So why are you preaching to me? I mean, we have Christian singles that live just as immorally as non-Christian singles. We have Christian marrieds that live just as immorally as non-Christian marrieds. We have Christian businessmen live just as immoral as non-Christian businessmen. And then we say, yeah, but I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Okay, that's great. But then what difference is it making in your life? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I mean, and throughout church history, you can see this in generations. You can watch the pendulum swing. Sometimes we swing to the holiness of God so far and such a high standard without any grace, and we don't give anybody a chance. We have sinners in the hands of an angry God, and God's mad at me all the time, and there's nothing I can do, and no matter what I try to do, I'm never good enough. And then the pendulum swings all the way back to the other side, and we say this, God's your friend, and he loves you, and no matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you live, he cares for you. And both are an error by themselves. But together, what we have at the cross is a standard of God is completely holy, righteous, and good, and he can't stand your sin. And yet at the same time, when you come to him, he extends grace and mercy where you keep coming up short, and he wants to grow you from where you are to where you want to be. That's the gospel. And both are true. See, the world says, do what I say, not what I do. The gospel says, do what I say and what I do. Like, just watch what I do and watch what I say and watch how I live. And if you'll watch me be the husband that I am, you'll be a good husband. You watch me be the wife I'm being, you'll be a godly wife. If you watch me in my singleness, honor the Lord, do what I do, say what I say, you'll be a good single for the Lord. I mean, watch what I am as a business person, watch what I am as a coach. This is what a walking, talking, breathing example of Jesus looks like. And that's where we get uncomfortable. See, we love to share the four spiritual laws. We just don't like to live them. See, here's what Jesus said. If you're really born again, then you're his living example. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and his spirit abides in you. So how you live and what you say and what you do all matters in your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have bore witness to the truth, many who have been martyred, many who have lived faithfully all the way to the end. And anyone that lives faithful all the way to the end, a faithful finisher, leaves a legacy for how to live. Find people like that and follow them. There are people all over Brave Church that love the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, find some people. They'd love to teach it to you. There are people all over Brave Church that love to pray and know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, find some people at Brave. Say, teach me how to pray. There are godly men in our church. If you don't know how to be a godly man, go find one and say, hey, teach me how to do what you do. There are godly women in our church. If you need to find one, go find one. They're all over. Just pray and God will bring them to you. But let me tell you something else. I remember when I was in college and I was beginning to walk with the Lord, and I was starting to walk with the Lord. I remember praying this prayer in my fraternity room, like, Lord, please bring me a man who is evangelistically bold, who stands up for what's true, who's right, who knows the word, who knows how to pray, that can teach me all these things. And I heard God down in my spirit say this, Jeff, just be that guy. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be that guy. I just want to follow a guy that's doing that, right? And that's how many of us feel. That's the pastor's job. That's the staff's job. That's my dad's job. That's my friend's job. I don't want to be that. I just want to be around people that are doing that. And that's the problem. Follow Christian examples. Do what they do and say what they say. Start letting God reorient your life to what you need to do. You say, well, I don't know that I can do that. The Bible is replete with examples of broken, unlikely people that God can use. I mean, it goes kind of like this. Prior to 1954, it was said that it was humanly impossible to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Prior to 1954, nobody had ever been recorded running a mile in under 4 minutes. But do you know, in 1954, a guy by the name of Roger Bannister ran it in 3 minutes, 59 seconds, I think 0.4 is what it was. And when he did, do you know what happened? Nobody had run this in 1,954 years. His record lasted for 46 days. And in the next year and a half, about 43 other people ran it. Because what happened? People started saying, well, if Roger can do it, I can do it too. The purpose of seeing godly biblical examples is, well, if they can make it all the way to the end, then I can too. And we went through last week all the brokenness of all the people that made it all the way to the finish line. Every one of us is broken. Nobody here has what it takes. And yet if we'll be faithful, God will bring us home. Amen? That means he wants to do that in your life. So follow faithful examples. Get around people that are faithing and living the way God wants them to live. Because when you see somebody else do something, then you can do it too. I remember after I ran that 5K, it was a couple years later, I learned that my cousin ran a marathon. And I remember talking to him on the phone. I'm like, you ran a marathon? And he's like, yeah, I ran one. I'm like, well, shoot, man, if you can run one, I can run one too. So I ran a marathon. Run's an exaggeration for a fact. I completed one, right? And what happened? I'm like, well, Sean can run it. I can run it. I mean, what makes him any different? I mean, that's the whole purpose. And if we're really honest when we disciple people and we don't put on airs like we have it all figured out, and we'll just walk people through how God is using us and be willing and authentic to share our brokenness and areas that we're not totally put together, then other people can say, well, if he can do it or if she can do it, then I can do it too. That's what disciple making and multiplying looks like. It looks like when God uses imperfect people just like me and you to grow in his grace, and we see, I remember what he was like. I remember what she was like. They're not that way anymore. Teach me how you grew. That's what it looks like. Follow faithful examples if you're gonna be a faithful finisher. Second is this, eliminate all hindrances. If you're gonna follow faithful examples, then you also need to eliminate all hindrances. Notice what he says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Two things, encumbrances or hindrances and sin. Sin that entangles us. In the first century, when people ran, they used to prepare by wearing weights. They would come in a long flowing robe, and then you know what they did? They literally would strip. They would take off the robe. They would have every encumbrance removed. They basically ran naked in the first century because they didn't want anything hindering their ability to run. That's what he's talking about here. He's using that metaphor here, telling us this: get rid of the things that are keeping your best from Jesus. Let me tell you a question I hear in the church all the time. Hey, pastor, is it okay for me as a Christian to, and then fill in the blank. It's a really bad question. Pastor, is it okay for me as a Christian to drink alcohol? Pastor, is it okay for me as a Christian to celebrate Halloween? Pastor, is it okay for me as a Christian to smoke? Is it okay for me as a Christian to date non-Christians? Is it okay for me? Is it okay for me? Because here's really what the underlying question is. Will God still love me if I do the minimal amount? See, here's a better question. Here's the better question. God, will this help me be the best that I can be for Christ? See, that's the question. The question is not, can I get away with this? The question is not, is God okay with this? The question is, will this help me be my best for Christ? Have you ever asked that question? Will dating this person help me be the best for Christ? Will engaging in this behavior help me be the best I can be for Christ? Will going to this place help me be the best I can be for Christ? Will taking this job help me be the best that I can be for Christ? Will engaging in this behavior help me to be the best I can be for Christ? And by the way, when the Lord shows you, don't set it on autopilot. Keep coming back and asking him more and more. About 2 years ago, I could hear the Lord in my heart telling me to get rid of all cable access and television and all that. And I knew that wasn't the Lord because he doesn't speak to people like that. And I started making all these excuses like, Lord, that's how I relax. I like sports. I like watching games. How am I ever going to do that? Do you know that the Lord doesn't change his mind? So about 2 years ago, I began to tell the Lord, okay, Lord, I will do what you want, but I pray that you give me a greater love for you in doing that. We got rid of it 2 years ago. I don't miss it at all. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean you can't have cable. That doesn't mean you can't watch TV. That doesn't mean I can't come over to your house and watch TV and watch games. Invite me over, I'll come. That doesn't mean any of that. What it means is, in my life, the Lord knew that was a hindrance for me being the best that I could be for Christ. See, and if we're really open to what God might want to do with us, then God will speak directly to us about what he wants to remove or change in us for the purpose of what he wants to do in that season in our lives. And it doesn't matter what he's doing in somebody else's life. Well, how come somebody else doesn't? How come they don't have to? And why isn't she this? And why isn't he that? Because God's speaking directly to you. See, we're going to eliminate all hindrances. Ask this question. Are the people that you're hanging around helping you to be your best for Christ? I remember when I was living in a fraternity, I got asked that question. I was having a hard time living for Christ in my fraternity. Can you believe that? Campus Crusade for Christ director had the audacity to ask me, well, how many people here in your fraternity are Christians? You got almost 100 guys living here. How many are Christians? I said, 3 that I'm aware of. He's like, how do you think that's helping you? I'm like, well, I'm an evangelist. He's like, how many of you shared your faith with and how many have come to Christ? I'm like, don't get personal. Man, I'm just trying, you know. He said to me, he goes, would you be willing to pray about God moving you out of your house? I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. But I don't want to live in some stinky apartment off campus and pay more money just to, you know, show God that I'm something. But I'll pray about it. So we prayed about it. Wouldn't you know, about a week later, I'm at his buddy's house. They're both Campus Crusade for Christ guys. And we walked into this apartment, 17 high foot ceilings. It was an old school house. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And the Campus Crusade for Christ guy said this. He goes, he said to his friend, in earshot of me, he goes, hey, pray for us. He goes, we got to be moving. We're moving from Champaign to Colorado Springs to be part of the national organization. I got to find somebody that will sublease this apartment. And I looked at this thing and I'm like, we'll take it. Like, how much is it? And he showed us, and I'm like, done. It was a done deal in 2 seconds. And when I moved out of my fraternity and I started growing in Christ, I have more impact on those that I used to be around than when I was hanging out with them. Here's the question. Are the people that you're hanging out with helping you to grow more with Christ? If the answer is no, it's time to change some relationships. And by that, I don't mean you call up some friends after church today and say, hey, we're done. Pastor Jeff told me we can't talk anymore. That's not what I mean. It means very slowly you begin distancing yourself and praying that God will bring people in your life who will help you grow more in your faith. And over time, as they become a bigger part of your life, some of those others will drift by the wayside. And you still love them and you still care for them and you're still available to them, but they're not your core friends anymore because it is impossible. It is impossible to grow in Christ without other Christians around you, period, right? That's why God created the church. As a community of saints for the advancement of his gospel and his kingdom on this planet. Will this be the best for me that I can be for Christ?
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today we're beginning a message titled Faithful Finishers, part of our ongoing study in the book of Hebrews, entitled The Greatest. And if you'd like to revisit what you've heard today or share with a friend, then visit bravemedia.online. If you'd like to hear these Brave Bible lessons while you're out and about at other times, perhaps taking a walk or having a lunch break, then download the Brave Church app to your mobile device for easy listening on the go. Just open the App Store on your phone or smart device, search for Brave Church Denver, and tap the download button today. And if you're in the Denver area, we'd love to meet you in person here at Brave Church. You can join us for weekend worship services at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. And if you're listening from elsewhere, you can join us through our live stream. For details and directions, head over to bravemedia.online, go to the bottom of our homepage, and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have any questions or encouraging comments to share with Pastor Jeff, reach out by email, hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. To send a letter in the mail, address your envelope to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. You can also reach us on social media. You'll find us on most platforms when you search for Brave Church Denver. And don't forget to click the subscribe or follow button while you're there. That's all our time for now. I'm Bill Carl, inviting you back tomorrow for the next part of today's message titled Faithful Finishers. Are you pushing through to the finish line in your journey with God, Or are you getting hung up on what's behind you? We'll discuss that next time here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.